Well, welcome back to the Iowa blog. This is Dode Song, part seven, part two, because we had a internet glitch at the 16-minute mark of our presentation, and I was awfully excited. It's you're recognizing that in what is the greatest song ever sung, a song where Yahweh himself, the creator God of the universe, wrote the lyrics. So it ought to be really good. And it is. It's a song where every word is an exclamation mark. Every line is a clasp of the cymbals, a roar of the drums. It is just magnificent. It is a song of crescendos. I cannot wait to hear Yahweh's booming voice sing this directly to his beloved son, with us as the witnesses all gathered around, as it is tonight, a full moon shining down upon us. Tonight is actually a really interesting evening because the full moon will eclipse the planet Mars. It's going to travel right over between us and Mars. And in addition to that, we have a visible comet with a naked eye in the sky this evening. It is a wonderful day to be alive. And we're going to celebrate the 89th Mizmor as it was written from beginning to the 21st statement, which is where our program went awry in Dode Song, part seven, part one. Here now is the 89th Mizmor from the beginning, a psalm, a poem of insights to contemplate and comprehend by being circumspect and thoughtful through Ethan, the constant and eternal, productive and established, profuse and enduring, Ezraki, beloved, native-born, strong arm, who is cherished. I want to sing about the eternal and everlasting love, the steadfast devotion and enduring favoritism, unfailing affection and genuine mercy, kindness and generosity forevermore of Yahweh. On behalf of all generations throughout time, the household, family, and home. With my mouth, I will make known, revealing that I am familiar with and understand, acknowledging that I have embraced your trustworthiness and dependability, your honesty and reliability, your steadfast commitment to the truth. 89:1. Yes, indeed. I say, now and forevermore, the spiritual realm of the heavens, they were established and are continuously built to procreate a restored, prosperous, and productive family. On love, devotion, and favoritism, kindness, generosity, and mercy. You have fashioned and formed it to manifest within it your authentic character, your trustworthiness, and reliability. I have established, cutting through separation, the Bereth covenant for the family and the home. Through Ani Bakar, my chosen one, the person I prefer and have decided upon, I have sworn an oath and I will affirm this promise seven times over to Dode, the beloved. Ibid Ani, my authorized agent and co-worker who serves on my behalf. Forevermore, as an Ad Olam, an eternal witness to the restoring testimony, I will prepare and establish your offspring and that which you sow. In addition, I will construct a home for your throne and your seat of honor on behalf of all generations throughout all time. Pause now and contemplate the implications of this. Mizmor 89:4. The spiritual realms of the heaven, they know and appreciate your wonderful accomplishments and marvelous contributions, Yahweh, and also your trustworthiness in the community of the set apart. By contrast, who in the skies of the material realm can be equated or compared to Yahweh? Who is similar or thinks like Yahweh among the sons of God? Almighty God is inspiring and awesome in the council and fellowship of the set apart ones, tremendously great, while inspiring reverence and respect beyond all of those around him. Yahweh, God of the vast array of spiritual implements, who and what is comparable to your awesome power and extraordinary gifts, which are all around you, Yahweh, including your unwavering commitment to the truth. 89:8. You have conveyed vivid parables, establishing an articulate leader over the raging devastation and presumptive arrogance of the sea, when its turbulent and surging waves rise up in deceit to craft delusions. You expose them and you stop them. You humbled and crushed, rejecting and defeating that which is comparable to the reprehensible and deadly nature of the pretentious pride and stormy arrogance of the boisterous afflictor and his false god. With your empowered and fortified Zeruah, protective shepherd, sacrificial lamb, and one cultivating the harvest. You isolate and separate your adversaries. The spiritual realm of the heavens is yours, the material realm of the world, and all that is in it is also yours. You laid the foundation for them, and you created them. The north, the place where the treasure is taken and hidden, and the south, the right side, you have created them. Tabor, the broken and scattered, and Chermon, the banned and exterminated, shout out for joy in your name, beside you and on your behalf. The Zeruah, the protective shepherd, the sacrificial lamb, and the one cultivating a productive harvest. With tremendous power, courage, and character, and awesome ability, are your strong arm and hand raised up high at your right side. 89:13. Being correct and vindicating regarding executing good judgment and justly resolving disputes, serve as the foundation of your throne. A loving relationship and genuine mercy, along with a steadfast commitment to the truth, encounter those who enter your presence. Delighted to show the way, because blessed are the people who are aware of and acknowledge Teruah, who walk with the light into your presence, Yahweh. In your name they rejoice every day, and in your justice and vindication by being right, they are lifted on high. Indeed, the adornment and appearance of their empowerment and fortification is from you. By your acceptance and approval, our brilliantly illuminating horn, the shofar, is lifted up. for our deliverance and protection are from Yahweh. Accordingly, the Kadosh, the set-apart one of Yisrael, is our Malach, our King. Therefore, in relation to all of this, logically, it follows that you spoke in a revelation to your Bakarim, your chosen and tested one, saying, I have equated and bestowed, assisted, supplying what is needed on behalf of the Gabor, the most courageous and capable of men. I have raised up and exalted the Bakar, the chosen one, from among the family, from the people. 89:19. I discovered and then made known, encountered, experienced, and exposed Dod, David, the beloved, my Ebed co-worker. Out of my set-apart oil, I have Mashiach, anointed him, so that to show the way to the benefits of the relationship, my hand and influence will be established and steadfast, authenticated and unwavering with you. In addition and beyond all of this, Ani Zeruah, my protective shepherd, my strong arm, my sacrificial lamb, and the one cultivating the seeds for a productive harvest, will empower and embolden you, strengthening you, while enabling your exponential growth. Mizmor, lyrics to be sung, 89 from the dedication through the 21st statement. It is the most important song ever sung, and it was first sung to us in year 3000 Yah, as the cornerstone of Yahweh's home was established by Solomon on the Temple Mount, with the lyrics written by the Creator God of the universe. And with every word, everything that people the worldwide have thought that they knew of God is upended, and a brilliant reality replaces the deceptions and lies. Well, we are just one third of our way through the 89th Mizmor Psalm. Yahweh has already acknowledged his son as Dod, the beloved, David, twice. Bashar Ani, my chosen one, twice. Ebed Ani, my co-worker, twice. Ad Olam, restoring and eternal witness, twice. Mashal, an articulate leader with a penchant for drawing pictures with words, once. Yamin, the right hand, once. Azaz Yad, a strong hand, one time. Zeruah, the most important title, according to God, regarding his son and our Messiah, the King of Yisrael and returning King of the universe, four times. Geburah, the feminine manifestation of the souls, the spirits, and Zeruah's power, all of which are feminine, inspiring courage, outstanding character, and awesome ability, twice. Kadosh, the set-apart one of Israel, once. Gibor, the most courageous and capable man of God, once. Mashach, anointed, once. Huh, that's quite a resume. Can you imagine the Creator God of the universe, Yahweh, building a resume for someone with all of these accolades and then dedicating a song to his chosen one. And yet, that is what we're reading. That is what we are sharing with you. And while those are names, those are titles, they are attributes to cherish, it all pales when compared to what Yahweh had to say about his son, Dod. He said, I have established cutting through separation, the Bereth covenant for the family and home through Bashar, my chosen one, the person I prefer and have decided on. I've sworn an oath, and I will affirm this promise 7 times over to Dod, the beloved, Ibedane, my authorized agent and co-worker who serves on my behalf. Furthermore, as an ad olam, eternal witness to the restoring testimony, I will prepare and establish your offspring and that which you sow. In addition, I will construct a home for your throne and seat of honor on behalf of all generations throughout time. Pause now and contemplate the implications. Beside you and on your behalf, the Zeruah, the protective shepherd and sacrificial lamb, with Geburah, tremendous power, inspiring courage, outstanding character, and awesome ability, will be your Azaz Yad, strong hand, raised on high at your right side. For our deliverance and protection are from Yahweh. Accordingly, the Kadosh, set apart one, of Yisrael is our Melech king. Therefore, in relation to this, it logically follows that you spoke in a revelation to your Bakarim, chosen and tested one, saying, I have equated and bestowed assistance, supplying what is needed on behalf of the Gabor, the most courageous and capable man. I have raised up and exalted the Bashar, chosen one, from among the people and family. I discovered and then made known, encountered, experienced, and exposed Dod, my Abed co-worker, out of Shimon Kodeshane, my set-apart oil. I, Mashak, anointed him, so that to show the way to the benefits of the relationship, my hand and influence will be established and steadfast, authenticated, and unwavering with you. In addition, and beyond all of this, Ani Zeruah, my protective shepherd, strong arm, and sacrificial lamb, the one sowing the seeds for a productive harvest, will empower and embolden you, strengthening you while enabling your growth. Well, that's a pretty good start for a man that Paul, the founder of the Christian religion, said was dead and buried and thus replaced. And it's impressive for a fellow who rabbis prefer to denigrate rather than celebrate, but not here. We know Yahweh. We know his son. We know what they accomplished together, and we celebrate their every achievement because it is the essence of our life and yours if you want to live with them. As we press on, there is a slightly different order of things found in the Qumran parchments as opposed to the Masoretic text. Psalm 89:25 follows Mizmor 89:21. Further, his hand becomes my hand and my right side and 4QPS in the scrolls found in the caves above Qumran and below Jerusalem. Dod will stand at Yahweh's right side and is serving as God's right hand. As such, I will place my hand into the sea and my right side adjacent to flowing waters. as he has already disclosed, Yahweh's Yod hand is Dod. Therefore, he will be placed over Goyim Gentiles represented in the text by the Yam Sea, the Ha-Nahar, place from which the waters flow at Yahweh's Yamin right side. Well, isn't just to Zion. It is what's going to happen on the Temple Mount, on Teruah, the Shabbat of Saturday, September 24th, 2033, when after having cultivated the last ingathering of covenant family in Yisrael, I, as Yada, as the final Zeruah, will offer my life as the Adam of Parah. And as I do so, allowing the beast that is the corporeal manifestation of Satan to bludgeon me to death on the Temple Mount in front of all the world to see. And then Eliyah serves as the master of ceremony up over the elevating and burnt offering of that mutilated Bashar carcass. He will set my body upon cedar timbers, throw in a toabah, just so that you have the opportunity to compare this to what Dod suffered under Rome in this same place. And then Yahweh will unleash a torrent of water that will emerge from under the Temple Mount and will cascade off of it and cleanse the mortal remnant that remains of Yisrael, as he then ignites a mighty fire with flames leaping to the heavens, visible for all the world to see, purifying his people while incinerating all of those who came against them, washing them away, but preparing this mortal remnant of Yisrael for Yahweh's homecoming with his beloved son, Dod. This is the sacrifice of the Adam of Parah, the bloodied red man of the earth, who has been productive and fruitful. And in this way, Yahweh on Teruah will prepare his people. And that is why there is a river of water that emerges at this time, in concert with the beaming light of the sun represented by Yahweh's presence and the upcoming presence of his son, Dod. As he has already disclosed, Yahweh's Yod hand is Dod. However, Dod has a herald, and it is his herald sacrifice that makes it possible to cleanse this remaining remnant of Yisrael, so that in the manner of Numbers 19, on what's called the sacrifice of the red heifer, it's an Adam HaParah, this bloodied man of the earth who has been productive and fruitful, it will prepare the adulterous woman of Numbers 5 so that she is prepared to be betrothed to her king, the return of Dod. This is the story that Yahweh is sharing with us. And it is why there is a place from which the waters will flow at Yahweh's right side. At this moment, after 3,480 years of silence, after having been told by the Israelites during the Exodus that they wanted God to go away and never speak to him again, to them again, Yahweh's booming voice and brilliant light will emerge over the Temple Mount during this sacrifice of the Adam HaParah to prepare his people. Yahweh is going to open up this life-giving waterway. And the waters will make a beautiful waterfall, both off the Temple Mount and into the Dead Sea and also into the Mediterranean. And it will run right through Moria between Yahweh's home on the summit and his son's palatial residence below in the city of Dod. I expect that there will be a bridge of light connecting the two. From death, there will be new life. And from the witness of the Dead Sea Scrolls, we will come to know our Father as Dod knew him. As a result, the adversary and the schemes of his tempestuous child will all be thwarted. The father of lies, as Satan's prodigy, is now the son of evil, with much evidence condemning Shaul Paul as the Torahless one, the man who tried to annul the word of God and to negate the life and lyrics of the actual Messiah and Son of God with his crude counterfeit. So it is curious that Christians remain fixated on identifying their Antichrist when they will find him having written the majority of their New Testament. Finally, Yahweh is a great father, and he's going to protect his son. He writes, "The adversary will not outwit or nullify him, and the son of evil will not deny him or denigrate him, because he will have no answer for him." Mizmor, lyrics to be sung, 89:22. The adversary? Hasatan. And Hasatan's great quest for the past 6,000 years is to denigrate humanity by outwitting humanity. And for the most part, he has been successful. He has done it through religion. And he has had countless religions throughout time where he is always presented as God. His most successful religion is Christianity, Satan's most nullifying religion in terms of God's people is Judaism. His most deadly religion that seeks to annihilate Jews is Islam. But Satan, for Satan to prevail, he must do two things. He must erase Yahweh's name and replace it with his title, the Lord. He must negate the accolades, the achievements of Dod, because he's the one who fulfilled Pesach, Matzah, and Bikurim and made it possible for us to live in God's presence. He must replace Yehudim with Goyim, and the Goyim that are the Yehudim that he cannot hoodwink into being religious or political, he must kill. And he must have things continue this way all the way up to the Shavuot harvest in 2026. And then the Teruah ingathering, followed by the Teruah sacrifice of the Adamah Parah, so that there is no homecoming and no family reunion come Kippurim, October 2nd, 6:22 p.m., 2033, year 6000 Yah in Jerusalem. That is what Satan has to do for God to turn away from this planet and to destroy it rather than returning to it. He needs a clean sweep. And so Yahweh chose to empower a man, someone that he chose with his seven spirits. He calls him by many names, Nakar, Nakri, observant foreigner, Choder, the sucker that gives new life to the fallen stump, a stem from the main branch. He refers to him as a coal, his voice, as a Bashar, Dod's herald. He calls him an Ed, restoring witness. He is the third and final Zeruah, the one cultivating the seeds of the harvest, a Malak, a messenger. He is God's answer to this problem. Someone that Yahweh is choosing to convey the truth so that his name is reintroduced to his people, so that the Messiah and Son of God is known by his people, so that the timing, meaning, and purpose of all seven Mikre are known by his people, and so that there is a marvelous harvest on Shavuah, a tremendous ingathering on Teruah, and a beneficial result as the Adama Parah gives up his life to save Yisrael so that he can come home in a wonderful celebration of the restoration of the covenant with Yisrael. This is God's story. This is how it's going to play out. And while that is all marvelous, because Hasatan loses in the end, Yahweh prevails, his son is restored to his rightful place. Between now and then, it's going to be very rough on Jews and on Yisrael. We begin the time of Jacob's troubles, of Yisrael's struggles on the Teruah harvest, May 22nd, 2026. The two-state solution will be imposed on Yisrael. The prophet Yeshayah tells us that Israel is going to be narrowed at her midst, that a state of terror is going to be established, and that Israel will become indefensible, and that within a year's time, there will be an attack on Israel that is 100-fold, maybe even more. The intensity, the bombardments, the jihadists, the rapes, the tortures, the murders, and the abductions on this, the final flood of Muslims into the promised land. Prophet Yoel says it will be greater carnage than the world has ever witnessed before, worse than the Holocaust. This state of horror for God's people will exist for 7 years. It will come to a conclusion on Teruah, on that Saturday, a Shabbat, September 24th, 2033, year 6000 Yah. And it will be brought to fruition by what Yahweh does with the Adama Parah, and what Eldiah, as the master of ceremony, has to say to God's people as he reprises his role from 2,888 years prior, when he took on and defeated with words the religious and political establishment of Israel. This is your future, and it leads to Yom Kippurim, the day of reconciliations, when Dod returns with Yahweh and he anoints the mercy seat of the Ark of the Covenant in keeping with the Torah's instructions. At that point, the covenant will be renewed, and Yahweh will place a copy that he has written of his Torah instructions inside of this remnant of his people. And 5 days later, upon Sukkah, we will enter the millennial celebration of the Shabbat, where we return to the conditions experienced during Eden, which is why we're doing that whole series on In the Garden. And we will camp out with our Heavenly Father and his Son on earth for the next 1,000 years prior to entering eternity. So the adversary, he will not outwit, nor will he nullify him. And the son of evil, who is Paul, whom Yahweh calls out by name as Shaul, as the plague of death, when 666 years prior to Shaul penning his first epistle, the first document that established the Christian religion, his letter to the Galatians, in 52 CE. He called him the plague of death and went on to describe almost everything that one would want to know or need to know about this false prophet, the author of the Christian New Testament. Here he calls him the son of evil. And he says that even though he has tried, even though he created the world's most popular religion by counterfeiting everything that pertained to Dode and then mixing in this milieu of Dionysus and Odysseus mythical lore to create the impression of a man god named Iesus Christus. God's on record saying that he is not going to deny Dode his due. He will not denigrate him because he has no answer that will prevail in the end. Shoah wasn't chosen in this statement by happenstance. Nor was Allah, two of the prominent words in the last statement. Shoah is used in the third statement that Yahweh etched in stone to say that he would not forgive anyone who sought to nullify or negate the value of his name, which should make every Jew on the planet quake, because you and your people erased his name. He is not going to allow Satan to denigrate or silence Dode either, nor the religion of Judaism. This is an important lesson, because it means that God is as protective of his name and reputation as he is of his sons. An attack on one is an assault on the other. To degrade the son by failing to acknowledge what Dode has sacrificed to save Yisrael, or to replace him with a mythical misnomer, a crude counterfeit, as in the case with Judaism and Christianity, with Iesus Christus, Jesus Christ in Christianity, and Bar Kokhba, the son of a star in Judaism, will garner the Father's wrath. As for Allah, it was used in Chabahuk 2:12 to reveal that Shaul Paul was the plague of death, and that he would build an evil edifice. Therefore, Yahweh is tying each of these clues together for us so that we might understand Satan's need to degrade Yahweh's chosen to prevail. God does not want us fooled into denying or trivializing his Zeruah. While the adversary, as Hasatan, is singular, as is his prodigy, the son of evil, when working together, as they did to conceive Christianity, they become, sorry, adversarial foes. Beyond this, to the best of my knowledge, there are only three prominent individuals who claim to speak for God while admitting that they were demon-possessed. The People's Choice, King Shaul, Saul. The wannabe apostle and false prophet, Shaul Paul, the author and inspiration for the Christian New Testament, and the self-proclaimed messenger of God, the dim-witted and perverted Muhammad. He admitted twice that he had been demon-possessed. However, since the plague of death was explicitly named Shaul in Habachuk, it doesn't take a genius to ascertain which of these nefarious fellows earned the title Son of Evil. More to the point, Shaul's name will soon appear within this very mizmor, eliminating any doubts as to the identity of the wicked child. And the reason that God focuses on this false prophet, on Paul, the author of the first 14 books written on the Christian New Testament, and the inspiration for at least three of the four Gospels, as well as the book of Acts, is because the lies of Christianity have done more to deceive people to the point that they believe that a myth, a crude counterfeit was the Messiah and Son of God and Savior when all of these accolades and achievements belong to Dowd. Christianity is the pile of garbage that was piled high on top of the truth, and Yahweh is not pleased. And he is disgusted that his people, rather than push it all away and simply cite the 89th Mizmor, the 22nd Mizmor, the 1st Mizmor, the 2nd Mizmor, the 88th, Yeshaya 53, Yeshaya 9, any of these statements, 2nd Samuel 7, all of them tell the same story, that Dowd is the Son of God, that Dowd is the Messiah, that Dowd was the King of Israel and is returning to be King of the universe, and that he served as the Passover lamb to fulfill the first three Moed Mikre and provide the benefits of the covenant. All Jews had to do was to tell the truth, and Christianity wouldn't exist. But instead, they doubled down on a lie and foisted another false Messiah on the people, Bar Kokhba, from which Israel gets its six-pointed star. So we need to applaud, yeah. The title is fitting. It's stupefying that no one has bothered to ask if Shaul Paul is so goddamn important as he claims, if he is the lone apostle to the Gentile world, why are all of the prophetic references to him decidedly negative? Why isn't there a single positive comment about the principal author of the Christian New Testament to be found anywhere in prophecy? If it is Shaul that we should be listening to, why is Dowd, the man whose status and testimony Paul sought to annul, featured in more prophecies than everyone else combined? If Paul is telling the truth and Dowd is lying, why is it that Paul consistently misquotes and contradicts God while Yahweh proclaims that Dowd is right? Why is it that Paul's false god, his Iesu Christu, is not mentioned in a single prophecy, and that Dowd's name appears 1,100 times? Do you think the creator God of the universe had a senior moment? Over 1,000 years of revealed prophecy, and he couldn't remember his son's name? Is that your answer if you're a Christian? Dum-ba-da-dum-dum? Your God that stupid? Or that inept that you think Jews killed him and you still leave him hanging on the, as a dead God on a stick? Are you that inept? Wake up! Why is this Dowd song an ode to Dowd, rather than in lyrics to Shaul Paul? If Shaul Paul is so goddamn important and Dowd is not, why is Yahweh's name, or why is Shaul's name, I should say, synonymous with Sheol? They're spelled exactly the same way, and Sheol is hell. Why does it mean question him? Why is he a Benjamite son headed south to the sea of Gentiles and a wolf, if he is to be believed? Why does Dowd's name mean beloved? Why is Dowd the one from Yehuda, beloved of Yah? Why Shaul is from the most wayward of the tribes? Why is Dowd afforded almost every positive title, accolade, and attribute by God himself? From the chosen one to the set apart one, from the Son of God to the hand of God, from Messiah and King, from the branch to the protective shepherd and the sacrificial lamb, the chosen one, the set apart one, if we aren't supposed to value his contribution to our lives? Why is Dowd accompanying Yahweh upon his return and then presented ruling the world if his life and testimony are to be discounted? Why are Dowd's Mizmor filled with prophecies to prove that he was inspired by God. And Saul only got, well, only proclaimed one prophecy, that of what is called the rapture, which he said would take place during his lifetime, and he got it wrong. Only has one prediction, and he got it wrong. And in Dodd's Mizmor, there are thousands of prophecies, all correct. Why are the only titles God associated with Shaul Paul the father of lies, the son of evil, and the plague of death, if there's anything good or right about him? Asked another way, since the book of Acts claims that Paul was such a big shot, such a persuasive orator and prolific writer, a man who traveled throughout the Greco-Roman world, the best student of Gamaliel, the leading rabbi of his day, in fact, he's the first to claim that title, and a man who supposedly met with numerous kings along the way, why isn't there a single reference to him in any of the communities or nations he visited? Having allegedly given speeches before provincial governors, kings, and emperors, why didn't a court scribe record his message? Why isn't the Christian globetrotter mentioned by Tacitus, Pliny, Josephus, or even by a rabbi? Why is Paul's written account of his life in Galatians so incompatible with the story he told Luke in Acts? Why did he die a miserable death, alone and rejected by all he sought to influence? Why did those who listened to Paul and rejected him realize what Christians fail to realize today? Rest assured, before the conclusion of this presentation, we will expose Shaul Paul's irrational attempts, both spoken and written, to Shari, constrain and restrict the importance of Dodd, the beloved of Yahweh. I have written 5 volumes about this called Twistianity, and I would encourage you to go to goddamnreligion.org and read them. They will change your mind about everything you were told was true. You will know, as does God, why the plague of death must be vanquished. Rather than go on to the next statement in the 89th Mizmor, this is a wonderful place to conclude. Dodd's Song, Part 7, Part 2. As we say goodnight, as we are graced with a lovely full moon this evening, and we broadcast to you, live streaming from the U.S. Virgin Islands. May Yahweh bless you and keep you, and may you listen to him and embrace him by name and come to love and respect his son, our Messiah and King. May Yahweh bless. I am Yada, the final Zoroa, and Craig Wynn, and this is the Yahweh Block.